Good afternoon and welcome to our reflection on this 14th Sunday after Pentecost, proper 18. Our readings for today are Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 7 to 11, Psalm 119, verses 33 to 40, Romans 13, 8 to 40, and Matthew 18, 15 to 20. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here, and we will worship Him. The Lord is here, and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and we will honor Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. Lord, we come because You have called us. We come in the name of Jesus. We come to declare the Father's love. We have come because You are worthy. We have come because You are here. Lord, empower us by Your Holy Spirit to truly acknowledge Your presence and to worship You alone. Amen.
Thank you.
We pray the collect for Proper 18, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, to trust you with all our hearts. For as you always confound the proud who confide in their own strength, so you never forsake those who make their boast of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled Reconciliation Before Discipline. Reconciliation Before Discipline. The Gospel of Matthew contains five collections of the teachings of Jesus. The most familiar of these teaching collections is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 from verse 1 to chapter 7 verse 27. Today's Gospel from Matthew 18:15 to 20 is part of the fourth teaching collection of Jesus. It is called the Church Discourse. Having pointed to the foundation of the church, his community of followers as faith, the faith that he, Jesus, is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Jesus sets out to establish standards for those who form that community. Having established that the greatest in the kingdom must have the humility and trusting innocence of a child, Matthew 18 verse 3, Jesus establishes the importance of identifying any stumbling blocks in life and commands his followers to cast them off. For the life he offers is much more important than any stumbling block, whether that stumbling block is physical, emotional, or spiritual. Matthew 18, verses 8 and 9. In the section of Matthew's Gospel, which is our Gospel for today, Matthew 18, 15 to 20, Jesus deals with his disciples' response to sin, disobedience to God among its members. Matthew 18, 15 to 17, Jesus said, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen, even to the church, let such one be to you as a Gentile and tax collector." Jesus was concerned about the way his disciples would treat those who, for one reason or another, had fallen away from his teachings. It is important to note that the process Jesus presents has more to do with reconciliation than it has to do with discipline. In fact, discipline comes after the individual has had three opportunities for reconciliation. Alone, with the person who is offended, in the presence of two or three witnesses, and in the presence of the whole church. It is after those opportunities for reconciliation fail, then comes the discipline. The individual is to be treated as one outside of the community, a Gentile or a tax collector. We are reminded that the disciple of Christ is called to reconciliation. Indeed, Paul emphasizes that Jesus, the Christ, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 20, Paul writes, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespass against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." St. Paul points out that the foundation of our faith is that God has reconciled us through Jesus Christ. God, through Jesus, has reestablished the relationship that was broken by sin at the beginning of creation. We are invited to follow God's example and be reconciled with each other. Whenever and wherever there is brokenness, as disciples of Christ, we are to seek reconciliation. We are to seek wholeness. For the disciple of Christ, reconciliation is not a choice, but a responsibility, a vocation. Christ is the reconciler, and as ambassadors for Christ, as Christ's representatives, wherever we are, we have been called to the ministry of reconciliation in the world. In his book, Reconciliation, which was the Archbishop of Canterbury's Lent book for 2019, Dr. Mathuraj Swamy, director of the Cambridge Center for Christianity Worldwide, stated that the ministry of reconciliation involves at least five aspects. Firstly, God's reconciliation. That is, faith in God reconciling human beings through Jesus Christ. Secondly, our reconciliation with God. Meaning, it is up to us to accept God's act of reconciliation and strive to have a faithful relationship with God and a right relationship with others. Thirdly, our reconciliation with others. Indeed, our reconciliation with God is only complete when we have the courage, humility, and love to be in a right relationship with others. Fourthly, our reconciliation with ourselves. We must understand and relate to ourselves. We are called to nurture peace within. Our relationship with ourselves affects our relationship with God, and indeed, our relationship with others. Fifthly, our effort to reconcile our fellow human beings with God and to promote reconciliation among our neighbors. Therefore, we are called to be active in our ministry of reconciliation. As disciples of Christ, we are to live reconciliation every minute in a continuous relationship with one another. Hence, if someone in the church has wronged us or the community, we strive for reconciliation first with the individual alone. If that fails, with two or three persons present. If that fails, with the whole church. The goal is to have the individual reconciled with God, with the individual who has been wronged, and with the community. While most of us relate reconciliation with broken relationships, Matthew Raj Swami pointed out that reconciliation is required where there is a lack of relationship. It concerns, he says, how we react to someone who is different from us, and how we embrace that difference in order to build a relationship. He points out that this aspect of reconciliation speaks to us in the context of diversity and difference, whether the diversity or difference is racial, social, cultural, or religious. As disciples of Christ, we must recognize that diversity and difference are gifts from God, and we must use them in building relationship with those who differ from us. As disciples of Christ, we are invited to be radically open to others, like Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15, 22 to 28. That will help us to avoid conflict, staying together when we disagree with one another, and finding solutions to avoid repeating mistakes. Matthew R. Swami sums it up this way. He writes, "Reconciliation is not simply a specific event. It involves not only resolution, but also prevention. It is a process. It is an attitude. It is a climate. It is embracing difference. It is commitment to diversity. It is about building and strengthening relationships with radical openness to others." The question is, therefore, how can we, as disciples of Christ today, carry out this ministry of reconciliation in these challenging times? Times where we have a broken and divided church in a broken, divided, and hostile world. This may seem to many to be an impossible task, but nothing is impossible with God. We have dwelling in us the Holy Spirit, the reconciler. The Holy Spirit continues the task of Jesus, reconciling us to God. The Holy Spirit will provide us with whatever we need: courage, humility, grace, and love to move beyond anger, discord, revenge, and enmity, and be reconciled with one another and with God. The Holy Spirit will enable us to overcome diversity and establish unity. Let us therefore pray that each of us will allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, to transform us, and use us in the ministry of reconciliation that Christ our Savior has entrusted to us. Amen. Let us pray. We pray you, O God, the lover of all, for those whom we have named our enemies. Deliver us from the hardness of heart that keeps us locked in confrontation. Deliver us from the hatred that binds us in old ways. Grant unto all people the blessing of your love, and grant unto us such transformation of our lives that we may make peace with our enemies, and together we might make this world a safer place for all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Christ has died that we might be reconciled to you, Father, and to one another. People cannot believe in reconciliation with you unless there are human reconciliations which reflect it. And so we pray for the healing of the broken bonds of human life. We pray for reconciliation between nations. We do not believe that the true interests of nations ever conflict sharply enough for war to be necessary. And yet we know that peace has often been exploited by those who love to oppress, making wars a grim necessity. Give us true peace, founded on justice and respect for human life. We pray for reconciliation between races, especially in countries where different races live side by side. May the principle of equal citizenship and equal opportunity be accepted everywhere. May the laws strengthen the hands of people of goodwill. May different races learn to speak the truth in love to each other. May wisdom and patience mean that the day of bloody revolution never comes near. We pray for reconciliation between generations. It is hard for parents to realize that their authority is not absolute and that their values may be questioned. It is hard for young people to realize that they lack experience and may have no more staying power than their elders. It is especially hard when one generation is given opportunities and choices the other did not have. Grant, Lord, that both may learn from each other and that the common problems of our world may be faced together. We pray for reconciliation between the sexes. We thank you for the new opportunities women have to follow their careers and take part in public life. Help men and women to understand the ways in which their roles have changed and must change, and to work together on equal terms and with mutual respect. Help husbands and wives to achieve harmony in marriage, despite the stresses of modern life. We pray for reconciliation between churches. Break down the inertia which keeps us apart when the original causes of divisions no longer matter. Help us to judge whether present differences are sufficient to be allowed to obscure the unity we have in Christ. And may unions of churches take place in such a way that they do not become the occasion for new divisions. We pray for reconciliation between religions. May those who profess one faith no longer suspect and misrepresent those who profess another. May good be recognized wherever it exists. May all people hold to truth as they see it and bear witness to it, but with goodwill and respect. May Christ, who once reconciled Jews and Gentiles, slave and free, into one body, continue to break down the walls which divide us. Amen. And we pray the prayer our Savior Christ himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. May it be a lantern to our feet, a light to our paths, and a strength to our lives. Take us and use us to love and serve all persons in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we pray that, Lord, you make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we say our parish prayer. I promise my brothers and sisters, through worship of the Lord and loving Him with my whole heart, that I will show compassion and love as Christ loves us. I promise to serve those in need and be an inspiration to all. May faithfulness be at my core as my love for God increases. May I serve God more and more as my diligence never ceases. I promise to respect other religious, social, and cultural groups, working to develop a community living in peace and harmony for the benefit of all. I will strive to be justly accountable in all my words and deeds, and to be reconciled with others for the advancement, upliftment, and growth of the church in our parish with the help of God. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you His peace today and every day. Amen. And so we pray that you will test positive for faith, keep distance from doubt, isolate from fear, and by all means, always trust God. We hope that you will have a spirit-filled, rewarding week, and indeed obey the regulations and be safe. Amen.